Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord, and he brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me, he is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And then from verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation.
He has become our salvation. Till the earth is filled with your glory. Wow. Isn't that exciting? A few years ago, I was involved in a project of doing CDs, tapes, DVDs that were going all over the world with the ministry, which Pauline now runs. And to avoid a lot of copyright problems, I got into a spate of writing a lot of songs of worship and presence. I think it was a time when I learned just how precious the presence of God really was. You know, it's easy to talk of God. It's easy to say, I believe in God. But do we really know him? You know, I thank for when I first got saved, XXX years ago, somebody said, God wants a relationship with you. He wants to know you, he wants you to know him. He wants to be your father in heaven. And while I was involved in running the ministry for 9 months, which I was the worst office manager in history, I swear. I'm a scientist, not a... But I kept getting phone calls from Africa, from India. Just every time they were encouraging. I thought we're an awful lot better off than some of those people. They were just desperate for some money to get some food. And we had so much. And yet their faith was a little bit embarrassingly strong. And yet, as we say, his mercy and his loving kindness endure forever. The opening line, give thanks to the Lord for his good, his mercy and loving kindness last forever. If you ever read the Psalms, sometimes David's having a rubbish day. You can tell it where he begins. By the end of it, he's praising God. It's a lifting process. As we raise up, praise flows. Though I cover an awful lot of music in the course of a year, I must admit, when I praise God, it's a different sphere. I always dreamt of being in a band and filling the Albert Hall and being a rock legend. I've played the Albert Hall, but worshipping God. And I wouldn't change it for the world. It was quite unique. It was different, what I thought, because you couldn't see anybody because it was the lights, but... God took that dream and said, I'll make it, but I'll make it in the way I want it. It's a place where you worship me. And that's a lovely part of it, isn't it? As I was saying, I was talking to Bryn Howard the other week, and he was saying about, he's made these albums that he's just giving to prisons just to encourage them. Some of it's songs based on stories people have told him. When they're down in the gutter, when everything they've ever wanted is gone. And he begins to build the Lord into the life and change lives, even in a place like that, changing lives. That vision of just taking that music and leaving it there. So it's not just there when he's there, but it's there all the time. That lovely promise, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. There are times when you just really know that presence. Have you noticed? Times when you really just know he's there. Nobody needs to tell you. I've been more aware of it lately as Pauline's now become part of a prayer group in Whitney. Women pray, we're in trouble, men. It might be Father's Day, wonderful, but when women start praying, things started happening. Included me getting saved. I kept getting invited to dinners with friends before I came to church. Once I got saved, they didn't bother. But these women were not going to give up. Until I knew the Lord myself. I don't know what I was going to do. I'd have accepted it a lot earlier. You know, the Amplified Bible of verse 27 here said, the Lord is good, who has shown and given us light. He has illuminated us with grace, freedom, and joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, those days when we stop praising, I think are the days when we're weak. Those days when we lose the joy of the Lord, we're weaker in it. Even in those tough times, you know, when somebody says, oh, well, have you asked so-and-so how he is? A dear friend of mine, he lost his wife during the lockdown. He's going through a terrible time. And I'm trying to see him every week just to encourage him. And things, you know, seem to get worse health-wise, but the importance of me just being there at times when I could be doing other things. But I remember when my daughter was a baby, when we became friends, he worked for a company, he's a senior nurse actually, he was, but he worked for a baby food company, so we'd come out of the football match and in went baby food in the boot and nappies, so that's where our friendship began, whether it was the football or the nappies, and then we got involved in American football together. But I realise it's been a long, long journey. And he was going to church, well, I don't think he's going now, so I think it's the only time he's going to hear anything if I'm with him. It's something for all of us to remember. Much of what goes on in Christian life is on a one-to-one, day-to-day basis, isn't it? When you think about it, that's one of those special things of wives, actually. I think they give us that little nudge when we get offline, don't they? It ain't like Pauline, she'll say, you know you're preaching, Cindy, don't you? Don't go down that path. But God says, you are mine. He knows your name. He calls you by name, a holy people, a chosen people, a people belonging to God, a people that he personally has chosen. I love the words in Jeremiah, said, who's going to listen to me? God said, but I called you in the womb. I named you in the womb. I anointed you in the womb. Long before you came into this world, I'd already chosen you. I'd already prepared you. And the first time we went to London, you know, we were in Leicester Square and I thought, what the heck am I doing here? I've grown up in a little country village. I know nothing about life. It was a quick learning process. Sometimes embarrassing. Sometimes thinking, what am I doing? But I think God said, well, I've brought you here. Now let me do it through you. I think that could be in the workplace as well. remember once in the lab I was, the lady from our accounts office came in, she said, "Oh, are you a Christian, Pete?" I said, "Yeah, I am, why?" She said, "Well, I noticed you've always got a Bible on the desk." I thought, that's a dead giveaway, isn't it? We should never be ashamed of the gospel. Never, ever. Being in that lovely place of enjoying God's presence. You know, quite often watch the God Channel when they're just ministering the word, just let it soak in. Whether you do it by podcasts or reading or whatever. Just enjoying that lovely flow of God's presence, where his mercy is just flowing over you, through you, filling you. Still waters, fresh pastures. There's something fresh about God every day. When I first looked at this psalm, I saw something. Then I went back and read it again, saw something else. And you realise, if you are asked to speak, you keep going back to that same scripture and look more than you would on a normal basis. Lord, what are you saying through this? What are you speaking into my life through this? What does it really mean to me? A land of the living. I'm going to teach you a Hebrew word. This is great. You can say you can speak a foreign language after today. The word mercy is in the Hebrew word chesed. C-H-E-S-E-D. Chesed. This mercy means steadfast love, unfailing love, loving kindness. Or as we would say in the New Testament, grace. By grace we've been set free. By grace we are saved. It's a gift of God. That grace has touched our lives. Last year, re-looking at Brother Lawrence's book, The Practice of the Presence of God, written 400 years ago. I take a while to catch up, you know. But he says this: all things are possible to him who believes. Still more to him who hopes. Still more to him that loves. And most of all to him who practices all three. To believe, to hope, and to love. What if that's a real root of any relationship, isn't it? Paul often said to me in the past, "You're supposed to cherish me." I thought cherish was to make a carpet, you know. I thought, well, I'll help with the hoovering. Yeah. But no. To cherish is to really care for somebody, isn't it? To see them as very special. That's how God sees us. Sons and daughters of the living God. Can you imagine anything more amazing than that? Whatever else you hear in life, what is more amazing and more precious? To be a child of the living God, inheritors of all the riches in Christ Jesus. We can't begin to imagine what that is. On earth, what did Jesus say to his disciples? Go into all the world and make disciples. Not people just stick their hand up, but people that really are walking with God. I was talking to a friend of mine the other week. We've ministered together many years. We're very close friends, actually. And he's at a church, so we're always getting people to stick their hands up. But how many of those are becoming disciples? In the heat of a meeting, you stick your hand up. We've all been there. But he said, I want those that are sold out for God. Those that will walk with God. Those that will take that place. That will move to a higher realm. And he's working with a lot of young people. And he said, I just really want to see them in this modern world rise to the best they can be. And that is what God wants for all of us, isn't it? I remember some years ago I was invited to do a service, and there was a man there, he was 86. And he was just going off to Africa to be an evangelist. I thought, you've got to be 86, you know. This is the Abraham thing, isn't it? It's a good time to stay on the farm. And he was just full of God, and I was like, wow. I was so challenged. The excitement, the joy, that God was still going to use him at an advanced age. And that oozed over, and you spoke to him, it's wow. And I did some services with the son of Smith Wigglesworth, Les. And he had a young worship group with him, and he told them to put some life into it. Les was already in his mid-70s by then. And he was telling these young musicians, put some life into it. Do you realize who you're praising? Do you realize? Yeah, we're not all quite like David's who take their kit off and dance before the Lord. I often wonder what my wife would say if I started doing that, you know. But stop people praising God like Michal, and she became barren. I think barren's more than not having children. Barren's losing everything. Almost becoming a stone in that hardness. What does God say to Ezekiel? He said, these people have got hearts of stone. I want people whose hearts beat after me. I will take that stone and I will put a heart of flesh that will beat after me. Open to me the gates of righteousness. That lovely word, isn't it? We are in right standing with God. And that gate will not open to anybody who's not saved. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. For this is the gate of the Lord. This is when you enter into the presence. I think prayer opens the gates. Yeah, I'm sure we've been to prayer meetings, we've gone in and thought, wow, something's happened tonight. Smith Wigglesworth's granddaughter used to go to his midweek house meetings. And she didn't want anybody to talk to her on the way home because there had been such a presence of God in that. She just wanted to walk home and bask and enjoy that presence. That is what it's really about, isn't it? It's not about playing before thousands or worshiping before thousands. It's that one-to-one. I've had some amazing times where maybe there's only a couple of people around. And yet we're just enjoying that together, that presence. How much do we really want God? How precious is that Godness in our life? The song says, in Christ alone my hope is found. I get lots of things through books, CDs, and goodness knows what. How precious are those compared with God? Work is a means to an end. God is a means to eternity. God is a place where I can walk. Is a place where I can be. A place that's very precious, very special, and very real. It's sometimes hard to explain how precious it is to people. I've probably shared this, but I'll share it. As you know, we did a street cafe for a long time. And Pauline used to grow, and every time this same guy came up, he gave her grief every time. Telling us there's no God, science proves it, stop waffling. He came up one week, and Pauline's, oh no, not again. But others started. And he turned around to him and he said, do you want to listen to what this lady is saying? I thought, wow, listen. For all that hardness, something had got through. You know, none of us are that hard that God can't break through. Everybody thought the Berlin Wall was forever. It fell down. It was taken down. We can build walls in our own lives that would fall down, that could be broken. And what God sees broken, he rebuilds. But he rebuilds in his likeness. I wouldn't ever change being a Christian. You know, it's brought me, as all of us, in contact with some amazingly wonderful people over the years that have encouraged us, built us. I've even had people chasing me down the road. A one minister I knew who was a regional head. I was in Headington speaking at a church and I was walking down somewhere and he just running after me. I've got something I want you to do. And I thought, I might have had a rubbish week, but he's got something he wants me to do. Never walk away from God, what God's got for you. There may be times when you don't feel like doing it, but if you do do it, you'll be glad you did. Let me encourage you. Go away and read this psalm for yourself. Psalm 118. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them. And I will praise the Lord. Nothing's going to stop me doing that. You know, and I don't care what other people say, because it won't change a thing, really. But it's when you begin to find people come to you and say, were you praying for me last night? I learned a lesson there. We were praying, we were going to Wormwood Scrubs, and we were praying for somebody. And we got up the following day and he came down. He said, were you praying for me at 8:45 last night? And we don't know what's got the time, but I thought we were. And he said, I just knew the presence of God filled that cell. That is the impressiousness of it. That this morning as we pray, we're praying and the presence of God just touching our lives. My hope is found in nothing less but Jesus Christ, his righteousness. And I pray this week you'll just really allow God to speak in your hearts.